Let me tell you about a man that I have met. They call him Captain or Wizard, don't forget.
The Wizard.
CJ Morgan's his name, and he wanted to start a show.
Hey.
So we did. Now you're listening to him on that dang old radio.
I'm Peter Fool.
Welcome back after a long, exciting holiday weekend, and welcome back, my man, Spinny.
Thank you.
Fresh off of his strike, Spencer, of course, was supporting the SAG, the actors, or the Writers Guild, and was striking from the show in solidarity with them. So it's good to have you back, man.
Thank you.
And I'm very happy that you stood up for a noble cause for something you believed in.
I'm glad we got everything we wanted.
Well, I'm happy to have you back here as part of the program because you are my writer and I need your jokes.
Yeah, I know.
While you were gone,
I also need money.
That's probably the most important reason why
they don't tell you this. When we strike, you're not getting paid.
Money and health insurance.
Yes.
Now, while you were gone, I really had trouble opening the show.
Oh no!
Because I can't just say, "Here's what I'm doing every day." The radio experts will tell you it should just be an individual hangout and chat, but you still need to find a way to make it unique and make it sound like a beginning of the show without it being the beginning of the show.
Well,
obviously we have an intro, but you know, they're just not quite there yet.
It's not the same.
Good for you. Good for me. I found something we can do to start every day's show.
Oh, what is that?
Because there's a production company that makes radio intros for every single show in the country. So every popular morning show with zany DJs and people you hear, they have pre-made intros, and they do one every day that's unique to that day.
That's awful.
So I thought we can just start with these. I don't know if it's awful.
No. I would hate to be a producer doing that, and that's just my only job.
Is to make
just literally sitting there making, and then we'll all just get bleed in and be the same eventually. I assume. Let's find out.
I don't know. Let's check this out. So let's pretend the CJ Morgan Show is a fun, wacky, zany radio program.
Oh, yeah.
And this is how we start our day.
Today, I'm asking, is it Tuesday?
Today is Tuesday.
What?
Today is Tuesday, then.
How's your weekend?
How was your weekend?
It was good.
But not nearly long enough.
Not long enough.
Not long enough.
How much time do you need?
I'll know it when I find it.
Let you know when it happens.
Well,
until that time.
How about we all get back to work?
It's showtime.
So there you go. That's it. It's people talking about it's Tuesday. So it's taking movie clips and editing them.
That's so easy. There's not any personality to that. There's no...
And we're the personality. It's Spitz and the Rat Daddy.
Understandable.
Here on 101X. And boy, we got a crazy weekend for you. I don't know if you got out and about on Memorial Day, but the barbecuing was just insane.
Man. Can you listen to how silly we are already because of the hip-hop.
It makes us a little silly.
We're ready to get down here, baby.
I very much am. So I'm just gonna.
We got any more?
All week. Well, this is Tuesday.
I kind of want to trash talk them.
I don't know what's tomorrow's.
Tomorrow's gonna be
a Wednesday one.
Huh? Hi, it's me, Wednesday Adam. Oh, you know, it's just a horrible hodgepodge.
Well, I don't care.
Unrelated. The only relation they have is that it's the day of the week.
Well,
that must have been so easy.
It started out with Tuesday.
It must have been so easy to find.
But here's
all that.
The thing, Spencer. It was a holiday weekend, so they knew to throw. How was your weekend? How was your weekend? So they knew to throw that in.
Wow.
But imagine like that's your.
Yeah, that's so boring.
That's why people don't listen to radio.
That is so boring.
And is it?
Yes.
I mean, it tell people it's Tuesday. It's it's a holiday weekend.
We're doing that now.
Here comes the show.
Okay. I don't think it's...
A quick look at the time and temperature. It is currently 3:12 in Austin, Texas. A little bit of a parking lot out there if you're stuck on I-35. But don't worry. Things are going to be getting a little smoother. Got a slight chance of showers coming in this evening. Nothing too bad. Humidity index up to 98. I don't know what I'm doing.
All I'm saying is when we turn these things into such huge productions with one producer making 30 different shows, like intros, it's like it just sort of cheapens any sort of artistry there was, if any there was, to this sort of creation.
You corny!
That's just how I feel about it.
I agree, but do we want to be an artistically respected radio show? Do we want, you know, how stand-up comics are comics for the comics in the back of the room? Do we want to be that? Or do we want to be Bobby Bones level successful, having fun, playing silly little games every single day with someone laughing in the background?
Listen, I think we can do both.
Okay.
I don't think we need to be limited to just choosing. I think we can do both, CJ. Listen to that guy.
Hey, you, right there. Yeah, you. Prepare to get creative, bitch. Sorry, you're not a bitch. I didn't mean that. Today we celebrate the creatives, all those of you out there doing whatever it is that inspires your creativity. Is it making popsicle stick yard art? Is it being a fart wiener joke guy on the radio?
Whoa.
Or composing great tunes? April, May 30th is National Creativity Day, so whatever it is you do, we want to celebrate all your creativity. And I have a little project we can do.
Wait.
You specifically. I will pay you with prizes to do a creative project for the show. But first, I want to know, what is your creativity? You can text us 512-835-1015. Let us know how you could apply that to promote the show. Spencer, my creativity seems to be in my undying need for attention and ways to find and get that in a weird, bizarre, but loving way.
Correct.
That's my creativity. I'm an a-hole, but I'm a lovable a-hole.
You're a little stinker.
That's what Matt calls me, yeah.
You're the Bart Simpson of the radio crew.
I was called like Bart Simpson as a kid.
That little darn stinker.
Other than that, I would say my next area that I really thrive creatively would be in editing videos.
I was about to say, I think you're very good at editing.
Yeah, editing videos.
Especially
is like,
on the fly pretty quickly.
I have ideas of what I want stuff to look like and be in my brain.
Yeah.
Like I make movies or music videos and I know how I want to do it. And I've gotten better at shooting them and writing stuff. But those are probably my two best things. That's what I enjoy doing.
I think so. I feel like you forgot to mention your creativity for the art of song.
A
lyricism.
Little bit.
Now, I know that's a lot of improvised stuff. That's just melodies, and you're singing along to them when you're talking to your dogs or to your fiance. I don't know. There's a little creativity in there.
What would you say is some of your favorite things, creative-wise?
Well, I have to basically cater to a guy that really enjoys attention and trying to seek it out every day in any way he can. So I have to provide him with just enough attention that he doesn't get upset with me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, but I don't want to give him too much to where he thinks
he gets annoyed with you.
Yeah.
I know, Matt. Dealing with Matt Bearden can be a pain in the ass.
It's a struggle, man. But I would say my actual creativity is probably somewhere lies solely in music.
That's what I was going to say. You seem to have quite a musical gift, not just for, you know, liking music, being a fan of it, being a critic, but actual composing your own music and playing music, because you were a pianist as a young man.
I was a pianist for about a decade, and that's not us just saying that word on air because it's so easily mistaken for that other fun word, penis.
But you understand dongs and music, though.
That's
but
true.
You understand
the
music.
Notes.
You know, you can look at something and know what that means.
Yeah, I can read sheet music. Now, as far as playing it very well the first time, I don't know if I can do that. I never got that good. I wasn't ever classically trained. In fact, I don't think I learned music the right way. One, because I did a bunch of private tutors, not like classically trained ones where they basically hit you with a whip and stuff. But just a bunch of randos that we could get. And I essentially feel like I taught myself music just by learning how to do timing and everything. I never understood the metronome. So I would teach myself the melodies of songs by listening to the song itself. And then music became a part of my inner clock, if that makes sense. I've had people tell me that whenever I play music live, that I'm not sitting there counting and you can tell. But that's never gotten me anywhere. You know what I mean?
Well,
it feels good to expand and have someone ask me about creativity. But I used to like to try to draw. I gave that up. Used to want to play
I was an artist for a hot minute and painting and stuff. And
I get too frustrated with the lack of results quickly.
Being a perfectionist can be draining on trying to be creative.
Well,
but anyhow.
That's what we do, you and I. A lot of times put some effort in. Then we're like, oh, you know what? I don't want to keep doing this much amount of effort, so I'm going to put it out there and be like, well, I just didn't try. You know what I mean? Wink, wink. It's my brand, you know?
I suck because I didn't try.
You're
if
right.
I had to, but
it's to protect
because I don't want to fail. Anyhow, you can fail or you can try. Here's what I want you to do. Whatever it is you're creative at, I want you to make a CJ Morgan Show logo,
whoa,
video, sound, or something a display media piece to promote the show. We'll give you a week to do it, and I will hook you up with the 101X prize pack. That includes tickets to Modest Mouse and Weezer, the 101X concert series show. Also going to throw in some gift cards to restaurants, some CDs, all kinds of some shirts, stickers, some crap that we have just to promote the show.
I feel like everybody went out of town for Memorial Day and went to some cool places except for me.
And now it's time for Emily's Social Cues. You're on the
radio. It's Social Cues, where we check out all the cool things on the internet, social media, and bring it right here to you on the radio. So you're talking about traveling for the weekend, an extended holiday weekend.
Yeah, and I didn't go anywhere fancy, and I kind of regret it now. I did go to Denton. I went and saw my boyfriend, but I was attempting to leave at a decent time, thinking that there would be bad traffic. There was no traffic. I didn't end up leaving at a decent time because I'm notoriously late.
If you leave late, that's when it's not bad.
Well, I left at like the prime traffic times, said the internet. And so I left when the internet was like, oh, it's going to be the worst traffic between these times. And there was nobody really on the road.
What time was it? Friday?
Friday I left at like 3.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. And I came back at
But you didn't do anything
two.
Cool. You didn't go anywhere
no,
fun.
No, I didn't go anywhere fun. And it seems like everybody went to, just based on their profiles and social media posts, everybody went to some pretty cool places.
Yes.
And I didn't. And I kind of have a little bit of FOMO.
How do we know they weren't faking it just for the gram?
That's true.
They were not faking it just for
the
gram.
How do you know?
Matt planned his big vacation. He's in Mexico.
I
don't like to travel on holiday weekends. What I do is I piggyback a couple days off during the week. So if we have Friday off at work or Monday off, then that'll be my first or last day of vacation.
I see.
I don't do the weekend just because people are out. But
it's busier, too.
I do get a bit of FOMO when I see people at the beach, by a pool. It's just I don't want to be on vacation when everyone's out there. But what do people do? Where do you go?
Well, I saw somebody was in Tennessee in like the Catskill Mountains, which I thought was really cool. Really nice. I love that place. But I saw quite a bit of my friends going to New Mexico, specifically Santa Fe, Albuquerque, that kind of area.
Santa Fe's great. One of the oldest cities in America.
It's become super hip. Lisa and I were going to do a road trip where we went through Ruidosa, little ski resort there, and then up to Santa Fe, and we were going to take a different way back, I think maybe including Roswell and that.
Yeah.
And it just didn't pan out, but I want to do, because I love West Texas, but, you know, New Mexico's got a lot of cool stuff.
Have you ever been?
It's got mountains.
Yeah, I've been a lot. I've been skiing at Ski Apache. I've stayed there, had family there for a while, went to Roswell, went to Carlsbad Cavern as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, Amarillo's not that far from New Mexico, technically, but it's... It's been a while. I haven't been there on my own in a long time, and I would really like to go back because it's hip. It's cool.
It is. It's hip. It's cool. And one of my friends went on a completely solo trip to go to New Mexico because she wanted to go on the Breaking Bad tour.
I was about to ask that if people still do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I've done that before. Except, I went with my ex-boyfriend, so the memories have been faded. Yeah.
So
let's just
tainted.
Say that.
No. What all do you see? The house that the pizza's thrown on?
Yeah, you see the house, you see the car wash, you get to go see Los Pollos Hermanos, which is actually called Twisters. I believe they took us into like a warehouse at one point, too. That was cool. And you get to ride around in an RV that's supposed to be similar to the RV from the show.
Cool.
So, and at the end, they give you these little baggies filled with like
blue
rock candy.
They don't let you cook meth for your first try.
My friend, she told me, because she also went to Meow Wolf, which is amazing. If you've ever been to Santa Fe and you've done Meow Wolf, it's an incredible art exhibit. But she told me that when she went to Meow Wolf, it was right after she had done the Breaking Bad tour. So they were checking her bag to get into the museum. And she had that little tiny baggie of like blue rock candy, and they were like, can you explain this? And she goes, no, it's candy, I promise. I just went on the Breaking Bad tour.
It's candy, man.
Yeah.
I guess if you say that, it makes sense. Do you think Memorial Day is more of a road trip holiday or a plane holiday? Because to me, it feels
just... Really? Oh, you're gonna say road trip? See, I thought it was more of a stay at home holiday.
For me, it is. It's barbecue, lake. It's do something nearby. But
yeah,
a lot of people seem to go do stuff. Like half of my friends were out of town.
Yeah, Yeah, Bailey over in promotions and on Lucy, she went to New Mexico too, I saw, which was, I heard somebody else in the hallway talking about New Mexico, so I guess Memorial Day is just the time to go to New Mexico, and nobody told me.
So surrounding states, people are going there and talking about how cool it is, but now that everyone's discovered New Mexico, I guess I got to go to Oklahoma. That's all that's left.
Right. Everyone's all about Louisiana.
You already go to Louisiana.
Yeah, everybody already knows Louisiana.
Arkansas, too. You go to Arkansas. Colorado's only a state away, so I'm going to reinvent Oklahoma.
Reinvent Oklahoma.
Make it neat again. Just for me.
Oklahoma's for lovers.
And I'm going to push all them engines out.
Are there engines in Oklahoma?
Car engines, yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, I know nothing about Oklahoma, so.
It sucks. It's all you need to know, okay. No matter what time it is. They might be miserable and dead inside, but zoo animals are actually happy to see you.
Puppy power!
Ain't no rules so the dog can't play basketball.
That's right. It's the Puppy Parent Report, and a new study found that certain zoo animals love seeing us, while other ones, not so much. No reaction. That's right. A study looked at which zoo animals, when we visit, actually react to us, actually seem to care, actually seem to have their mood heightened a little bit more just by little humans being there.
Okay.
The study took place in England, 250 different species, and in general, they found out, overall, most of the animals didn't really care.
Okay. Yeah,
didn't really act very different.
I assume these are maybe on the more intelligent or more socially. I'm not sure. I guess how to put the social, but because you know how cats are social.
You nailed it exactly. Social and intelligence.
Yeah.
And when it comes to those, the top animal that liked seeing us the most. Elephants are the number one.
They're very smart and very social herd animal.
They absolutely are. They seemed more active. They seemed less bored. And when big groups of people were around, they even got more active and would interact and stuff like
that's
that.
That's cool. It sounds like they're people watchers. So they just sort of like hang out and watch all these weird humans interact and do things.
It's insane to me that we had war elephants back in ancient times. Like that we trained, bred, and rode elephants.
Yeah. That is insane, man. Imagine taking
horses,
those up like a mountain.
Horses I can kind of get a little bit, but
war
elephants. Because elephants still kill people in the wild to this day. Like they still trample.
All they got to do is move their trunk, and you're flying off into the trees. Have you ever seen someone get pushed aside just relatively gently by an elephant?
Yes,
they get knocked their ass out and they fly a few feet. It's crazy.
They're one of my favorite animals. It makes me sad that we hunt and kill them because they're cute.
I wish they were a little smaller so they were like more.
They're tiny elephants. More animals.
Did you know?
A few more animals that seem to enjoy human company. Penguins.
Penguins are tight. They just
they're kind of social too.
Smell real poopy.
Prairie dogs, which surprises me because prairie dogs seem to get very scared of them.
They seem a little skittish, but have you ever seen those like a nature documentary, like photographers when they're out there for so long?
They'll go investigate.
They'll eventually start
them.
Like standing on top of them, and so they warm up to you, I think.
Okay. Cockatoos.
Cockatoo is another one of those smarter birds.
Might also be because they're scavengers. They love sneaking. These next three, I think I know the reason they enjoy our company. Cheetahs, grizzly bears, and polar bears.
I wouldn't have guessed.
So three things that would easily kill us.
Sure, but they're also still smarter animals too. So I'm very curious. I've watched videos recently. Did you know cheetahs purr?
Yeah.
I did not know they meow, too. They don't do those growls like other quote-unquote big cats. I'm not even sure if they're classified as that technically, but they're still
fast as hell.
They're a big cat. But I think, I remember reading something. Cheetahs are pretty smart, and they get lonely if they're raised in captivity. So a lot of times places will get them like a puppy to hang out with them and grow up with them together so they don't get too sad.
Man, zoos make me sad in
they
general.
They make me sad, too, man.
Do you know Texas is one of the biggest places in the world as far as rare and exotic animals being privately owned.
Did you know?
Yeah, another
did
you
know
on the Puppy Parent Report. Which animals might hate us? They say the number one on the list. These are ones that don't react or avoid.
Probably sharks then.
I would think so. We kill a lot of sharks. No, ostriches.
Good.
Ostriches do not want anything to do with us and act agitated, annoyed, and avoid.
Wow, that's very funny. That must be why we haven't used them as war animals a lot either. You know what I mean? Riding them around.
That would be rad. Certain reptiles, hedgehogs, marsupials, especially kangaroos don't want anything to do with us. That's why kangaroos get in a lot of fights too.
Yeah.
They'll kick your ass.
What about,
dude, kangaroos are yoked. Have you ever seen like how muscular they are?
Yeah, and it's terrifying.
Dude, Australia just has crap that'll kill you. I almost cussed right there. They have things that will brutally murder you.
I wonder how giraffes feel, but I feel like they're just sort of, they don't care. They're nonchalant as long as they got a tree to just...
They're in their own world. It doesn't matter to them. Yeah. So there you go. All animals at a zoo probably are annoyed by kids throwing peanuts at them, but most of them like you. I'm surprised it didn't say anything about primates. I didn't have any info on as to if they like throwing poop at you, if they...
That's got to be a mixed bag, right? Because they're all usually kept together, so they're socializing well enough, I think. Same with the elephants, though, and elephants like to see us. I don't know, man. Monkeys are more like us, which means they're jerks.
So. It's always funny to me when monkeys misbehave at the zoo, when they urinate or throw their feces or when they do it.
Austin's own Lego man. The CJ Morgan Show on 101X.
The greatest restaurant in the world is coming back.
You look fat as
I'm getting very concerned with the integrity of our organization here.
CJ.
You have gained, 50 pounds of fat.
The man is carrying around trash bags filled with Mexican foods.
CJ is fat!
Instead of CJ's fat, we're going to call the segment Avery's Eats.
Hey!
Because Avery is joining us all week long, filling in for Matt Bearden, a favorite of the show.
Aw, thanks.
And the only guest to ever get paid to be here.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy. I do want to ask him, I'm like, hey man, y'all going to hit us up with some more free stuff? Avery of Smoking Burnouts jingle fame. Does anyone ever hear that?
People text me all the time.
Yeah.
I'll just get the little music emoji and it'll say like Smoking Bandit Smoke Shop. Or someone the other day just texted me, we've got weird drinks.
Dude, that's great. Advertising works. We're going to do a segment on that later. But one of the greatest restaurant experiences I've ever had is Casa Bonita.
Yep.
From an episode of South Park, and it's actually coming back, right?
Yeah, I didn't know it was real.
I didn't either.
I thought it was just from South Park.
Well, right. I thought it was like some mashup of restaurants, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
Like Rainforest Cafe mixed with, you know.
And then I went there. I was on tour, on a comedy tour, and we were in Denver. And we went to Casa Bonita, and there were cliff divers.
It's everything in South
there
Park.
There was, yeah. I was like,
they did not exaggerate.
Again, it wasn't on a small scale either. It was like,
it's like you're in a warehouse.
Huge.
That place is.
The ceilings were incredible, and then like the cliffs and the waterfalls, and they're just doing all these flips. And we were in one of those little like bungalow, the little thatch like bungalow things.
Yeah, they have interesting little table
the
setups.
The cool ones, yeah. And we got to be like above the right next to the divers.
Oh man, that's cool.
It was really awesome. And then there were bands everywhere, mariachi bands everywhere.
And it's the food's kind of like Poncho's, if you remember that place.
Raise the flag.
You get buffet, but then when you run out of stuff, you just raise it. And
did you drink the little chocolate milks at Poncho's?
No.
That's all I remember.
I don't. I remember just raising the flag. And I would just eat taquitos and stuff.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but one of my fondest memories is just slamming like 4 Oakwell Farms chocolate milk at Poncho's with a plate of cheese enchiladas.
I wish Poncho's would come back.
Yeah, because dairy is the most important of the food
part of Mexican food, too. Well, Casa Bonita is up in Denver, so you will have to make a road trip for it.
But they closed.
But yeah, they were closed for a while.
Years. And they've renovated, and it says they're doing beta testing, which I think is really a funny way to say a soft opening.
that's for software. Yeah. Like, great word, Elon.
We're beta testing. Yeah, did Elon Musk buy Casa Bonita? Oh, that would be funny.
When I went there, it was the same thing. I didn't know if it was real or not.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, oh, whatever. And so I went up to Denver for my buddy's bachelor party. We did the whole ski trip thing.
Uh-huh.
And then I stayed with him for a couple of days, him and his fiance. And on the night before I was going to leave, he was like, hey, do you want to go to Casa Bonita? Because we joked about it. I was like, so that's real? He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going. So we put on our dumbest Pearl Snap shirts. We dress up. His fiance begrudgingly comes with us. We go to Casa Bonita. It's like in a strip mall.
Yeah, I was going to say,
it's in the corner of a strip mall.
When I pulled up, I was like, no way.
It's very unassuming.
It doesn't have its own lot.
It's not a standalone.
How? But it does have
big facade.
Yeah, it has a big facade
up
front.
Yeah, it looks like a Spanish mission or a casino. Yeah.
Yeah, you go up and you're like, oh man, okay. And you
like
go
Spanish
in.
Spanish colonial and it's pink. It's like it's like Pepto-Bismol pink.
Where next to it is like a head shop and then like an insurance company. So it's in a strip mall in the corner.
On the last comedy tour I was on, I was eating lots of really terrible food and I was on with my friend Jake Mike Flores, and we had to buy Pepto-Bismol on the road, and it was generic Pepto-Bismol, and it was just called Stomach. And we would just be driving in
not
the desert.
Not even Bismol, yeah. It's just Stomach?
I was like, hey man, give me a hit of that Stomach.
It's not even called Stomach, like, cure, or Stomach.
Yeah, no, it's just called Stomach.
That seems like it's just melted plastic byproduct.
Yeah,
that
but Casa Bonita is Stomach Pink.
It is. The food's not great, but you walk in, you go through like the buffet line, you pick your first thing, and then they seat you. So you do the whole first cafeteria thing. And at first I was like, oh, this is all it is. And we went on like a Monday, so no one was there.
Oh, even cooler.
Right before it closed, like an hour or two before it closed. And then I walk inside and I'm like, oh my God, this is like a gymnasium.
Yeah.
It was huge. And we walked through like a cave.
Yeah, they have there's little, caves.
They have games you can play.
There's a balloon guy. Balloon animal guy.
Straight up mariachi band.
Yeah, that was like awesome.
I guess there's like a, since there is a big cliff diving thing, there's like a little river that runs through it or something?
It's like a
or?
Little lagoon.
Okay. I was going to say, are there like real frogs and stuff you could catch? That'd be pretty cool.
No, I don't think there's any animals.
No critters.
There.
Yeah. They got bird sounds, though, I would assume.
They do have bird sounds,
they
think.
They do. Yeah. And it's also funny because it smells like that warm, chlorinated water.
Yeah, it smells like a mall.
But it's so worth it.
Like,
if you go,
like the pennies in the fountain.
Yes, it does. Like those little weird shopping malls. If you ever go to Denver, Casa Bonita is worth it. It is dumb
totally
as hell,
it.
But it's absolutely worth
it's
it.
It's just mediocre, like Tex-Mex. Like it's American cheese. It's super greasy. Like there's no meat in the chili con carne like sauce. Like it's just smooth.
But with cliff divers.
But dude, it's just salty American cheese goodness.
Do you think,
in a beautiful setting?
Do you think South Park made that place like boom with business? They had to have because.
Yeah,
it was a whole episode, and I didn't think it was real. No one thought it was real.
It was a sensation. Cause like we would just all say Casa Bonita like Cartman, like little parrots.
We have to get one here.
Yeah. Oh, that would be sick.
It's Tuesday, so it's time to recap the sporting events over the weekend. And joining us is the number one sports enthusiast, Avery, to fill in for Matt.
I love all sports, every single sport.
So many sports.
I love pickleball. I love.
Dude.
I do not like pickleball. It's too physical for me, man.
I'm too old
and my knees are creaky and I don't want to move that
Avery,
fast.
That's the whole thing with pickleball is it's like old people doing it.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
Well,
how it started.
I am older than old people. I want to play bocce ball.
You have lived a party in life.
Yeah,
I will say that makes sense.
I want to play bocce ball.
You see, bocce's an old person thing, too.
But that one, I'm just tossing a ball.
I really thought pickleball started as a old people on cruise ship kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
That's badminton.
Okay, maybe.
No, that's fun. You just stand there.
Hoop.
Well.
Rich old people, when they hit it, they go, hoop.
I thought I could do it, so I guess I'll stay away from pickleball.
Oh.
I just love dominating at dumb sports. Like Ultimate Frisbee, that was my S back in the day.
It wrecked me, man.
What sport would be your off-sport sport that you're good at? Do you dominate at anything?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I'm a really good swimmer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty bad at that.
Yeah.
All right.
I can float. I know how to do that.
Yeah, you do all the strokes.
You know how to bob.
Kind of. My shoulder comes out of socket in the water easily, so it's hard.
That's very strange.
Jump roping. I'm really good at jump roping.
Okay.
I'm good at playing horse, but I'm not good at defending or anything, so I can't really play basketball.
I'm good at capture the flag.
Yeah.
And paintball. I can do those.
I was on a kickball really league. I wasn't too bad at that.
Do you remember when that was a whole thing in Austin?
It was in San Antonio. We were the Downtown Death Squad.
It was massive. And then the movie Dodgeball came out, and then every bar was like, oh, we got to have a dodge. And then dodgeball leagues were the thing for quite a while. And pickleball's it now. That is the massive thing.
That's the one.
I was good at rollerblading.
I was pretty good at rollerblading.
Yeah,
yeah, I can't four-wheel skate. I fall. I go whoop, whoop, whoop.
I can do it on a roller rink.
I learned to rollerblade first, so I think that's why. Maybe I tried it once and it was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I can rollerblade and then I can ice skate, but only with hockey skates. I got to have the ankle support.
Weird, but the thing is about the normal four-wheeled skates, it's like they put the little brake stopper up front and that throws me off.
Not on my skates.
Well, I don't even get to the skating part. No. I'm just
or
like,
you skate backwards.
or that.
It made it, I picked up skiing really easy because I could rollerblade, but then I always looked like the dork because all my friends skateboarded, but I rollerbladed. Yeah. And then
you
all
were,
my
you were the dork.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
you
were
you're right. Sexy Flanders.
Look, man, all you got to do is lift your legs up when you jump. It's not that hard.
And
do
then
tricks.
All my friends snowboarded, but I was the skier. So okay. It was kind of.
That's almost a little cooler.
I will say. At least with me skiing, I picked it up on the first day, mm-hmm. and then I was good. And then every time friends would snowboard, it was just an entire trip of them falling and hitting their ass or slowly like paddling and trying to get speed. So I think I had more fun. Point being, what is your weird sport? Text us, 835-1015. If you dominate at something weird, let me know.
Does tag count?
Tag counts. The flag.
Yeah.
Ultimate Frisbee was one of mine. Yeah, capture the flag.
I played golf, too.
Kind of.
Golf.
I love paintball.
Paintball's great. You know what I do to cheat at paintball?
It hurts so bad, though.
It does. Well, that's why you wear puffy stuff.
Yeah.
And plus, it won't bust. I used to...
that's what she said.
I do two things you shouldn't. One, I take my mask off because it blurs so bad.
Yeah.
And so when I'm hiding, I can get a better shot. But the other thing is, you know those wrist rocket slingshots?
Mm-hmm.
I used to bring those. Because they're more accurate, you can fire it whatever you want, and they're quiet.
Yeah.
So I would hit dudes with the slingshot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And damn. You had your sidearm. That's messed up.
That's how I
roll.
Cussed. Anyhow, we have some sports bets to recap, and we'll do that right after this. Let's do it. Avery, we're going to go through Matt's picks last week, and you're going to tell me whether these picks are dumb or not. And then I'm going to have you pick on behalf of Matt.
Okay.
The loser has to buy the other one dinner and get punished. Denver versus Los Angeles. When it comes to the sweep of the series, Matt chose Denver. That is correct. Point Matt. Boston versus Miami. He chose Miami. They did not sweep Boston. That is incorrect. Boston actually won three in a row before losing horribly in Game 7. Avery, you're an NBAer.
Yeah.
You're a massive Spurs fan.
Yeah, I hate the Lakers, so I was going to go with Denver.
Little Miss Popovich is your online name. Are there any other sports teams that you can't stand?
Mostly the Lakers. I used to hate the Mavs a lot. We've discussed this.
Yeah, I used to hate the Spurs a lot, but it's hard to hate Tim Duncan.
Yeah, and it's hard to hate Dirk, and it's, you know, I've got respect for that. It's really just the Lakers.
I've got great news for you. My hatred in the Spurs has been renewed.
Yeah?
Because your San Antonio Spurs...
Because of our little lottery pick?
...have done something that no other team in history has done. They've won the lottery three times.
Uh-huh.
When they're not the worst team.
Yeah, 87, 97, and 2023.
And when they won those lotteries, each time they won it when there was a clear number one pick. There wasn't anyone else in the field that was even close.
Yeah.
Not quite like LeBron or Michael Jordan level, but right under that.
Yeah.
They had the Admiral after
and
his naval
Duncan.
Service. Then Tim Duncan was the clear number one pick. The only reason the Spurs were in the lotteries was because David Robinson got hurt. And then y'all got Victor Wembanyama. That's all anyone's been talking about for a year.
Yeah, he's a generational talent.
He is. And
I'm excited to see what happens.
I'm happy my Mavs now have a generational talent, but the difference is the Spurs have a coach and an organization that will build.
They're going to be fully behind Tim, and he's going to have Manu, Tony, and Timmy, like, all the time.
They're going
to
make.
They're, like, coming back on to, like,
they're
going to
come back on, and it's not fair.
Yeah.
So I hate the Spurs again. It really isn't fair.
It's all about Greg Popovich as a coach. It's a testament to him that his players stick with him and they're lifers.
And in San Antonio, one of the smallest NBA markets.
But it's a culture and it's like that's a family. It's not, those guys didn't want to get traded, you know, they stayed on.
This is the most sports we've had discussed in this segment in a long time.
It is.
I'm really excited.
But it pisses me off. Matt lost a lot of other bets. We'll recap that when he rejoins us. But now I want you to bet. And then, Avery, when we return next week, or later this week, actually, I'm sorry, you and I are going to do a little contest called Bread Dough Pong.
Okay.
Me versus you.
All right.
It's beer pong, but with bread and peanut butter and tic-tac-toe involved.
Okay.
Are you down?
I'm excited.
Okay, and we're going to bet something on this. I don't know if it's going to be money or drugs or booze.
All right.
We're going to bet.
I've got
Anyhow,
all three.
I want you to make some picks for Matt Bearden. First and foremost, back to the NBA. Who wins the finals? Is it going to be the Miami Heat or the Denver Nuggets?
I'm rooting for Denver.
Denver, I am
too.
And
I'm rooting for Denver. I have a few friends that are diehard Nuggets fans, and I would just be so happy for them. Shout out to my friend Andy Bowden, one of the best drummers in town.
Thank
really
you, Andy.
Excited. Thank you, Andy.
I'm happy for him too, and I like Jokic. It's nice when dudes you like are doing this stuff. Next one, along with the NBA Finals, pick a number. Denver wins it in what? 4, 5, 6, or 7? Or wait, we can combine them. We can say 4, 5, or 6, 7.
Sweep.
You think 4, 5? A sweep.
A sweep.
Damn. Who wins the NHL? Are you hockey?
I'm not a hockey person.
Okay, well, I'll just...
Who's in it?
Las Vegas Golden Knights versus the lowest seeded team in the playoffs that beat the number one team, the Bruins best ever, the Florida Panthers, I think they are.
I like Las Vegas, so I'm going to go with Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
I love the lights and the magic.
Matt's an Astros fan. I'm a Braves fan. I don't know what I'm going to pick yet, so I'm just going to ask you, Astros or Braves?
Astros.
Astros, okay. Sounds good right there. And last but not least, who sucks more, Matt or me?
You both suck in so many unique ways.
It's hard to count.
Yeah, it's hard to
Thank
count.
Thank you. Got that.
But I do love you both.
Hey, we love you.
Thanks, bud.
Finally, Spencer and Emily have played Zelda.
And now it's time for the Nerd Report.
I just wanted to say that... I'm a nerd.
Oh my God, it's been weeks, and now we can finally yes. talk about playing the new Zelda game, Tears of the Kingdom.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
I will tell you, whenever they chose Zelda to lead Waystar Media at the end of Succession, when it was actually Zelda pulling the strings behind Barry in that TV show, it was all her. The game's pretty rad, and it's been fun diving into it and seeing the creations that people are doing online. Because
man, that's insane. We've seen all the ones where they make like
wieners.
Very sexual things, of course.
Or they torture the little, what are they called?
The little like
Kuroks.
Yeah.
Leave them alone. They're precious.
See them. I just leave them. I ignore them.
Oh my God.
So what we're talking about is there's an element of essentially Minecraft in this, not necessarily building the similar things and digging and harvesting, but
there are
you can build
of,
rafts, you can build planes, you can build hang gliders,
rockets,
stuff like that help you in the
and
missions.
You can get creative with this. I saw a dude make one, and I don't even know what to call it. It was almost like this big sort of machine where it could tilt and tumble and do all these crazy things, but he would never fall out of it. It was like this weird rod that he's stuck attached to.
That's cool.
Some crazy engineering capabilities are very possible in this game.
Yeah,
I'm just not that creative.
It's interesting to know that there's not one right way to win the game.
Yes.
And I think that intimidates me, but
I beat a temple the other day because I was sick the past week and I had nothing else to do. And I was getting so frustrated one night I turned it off. The next day I got up with a bright, a little bit rested. A new brain, I guess, to tackle this issue.
I felt bad
I was like,
for
look
you.
At all these crazy mine carts and things. And like, I don't know what to do. So I just built, I took a bunch of these platforms and I built like a wall to climb up to get to this new area.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think I was supposed to do that. I was supposed to solve it this other way. And I was like, I'm brute forcing this. I'm tired of this one last thing I got to do here. And that was so awesome. It made me feel like so creative. Even though it wasn't the correct solution, it was still a good enough solution. And I haven't felt that way in games, I don't think ever, for a long time.
Dude,
just allowing you to sort of break some of the rule sets just to get around things is really fascinating.
I got so happy and proud when I built my first twin-engine raft. it was awesome. And then when I built this, like, double balloon with a flamethrower.
Yeah.
Like,
a double balloon.
I was just so happy.
Like,
I felt so good doing it. So that's one of the big elements is building stuff. And then you have this tech from older creatures like fans and crock pots and stuff like that. So that's been added into it.
I thought this was going to be a prequel. It's actually a full-blown sequel to the game. And
I feel
like a fool for saying that so many times.
I didn't know. I thought it was a prequel too. And then I was confused by what was happening. So this is... after the Calamity, this is after Breath of the Wild, and they're currently rebuilding the kingdom. And it took me a minute to be like, oh, that's why they're talking about Ganon being defeated.
Yeah. What is it? Evil Dark Ganon, whatever?
It's Calamity Ganon, I think is what he's called.
The other side Ganon, that's what I like to say.
Oh, man. Yeah, Dark Ganon.
Emily, you got to play it a little bit with your boyfriend over the weekend.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on it?
Well, it was really sweet. I am not really into open world games.
They're the best.
I have too much anxiety. There's too much to do, and it just overwhelms me.
This game
me.
Especially is like, I could be
wandering
somewhere, and then I see something, and like 8 hours later, I haven't finished the thing I sought out to do because there's so many stuff to distract you on the way. Did you feel overwhelmed playing this?
I felt so overwhelmed.
Oh, no.
But the good news is, it's not my game.
Okay.
And it's not for me. I've never played Breath of the Wild either. I played old Zelda games, and I really like those because they give you a task, you fulfill it, and that's kind of about it. And so this is a lot.
That's why I like open world games, because I have three modes when I play.
Mm-hmm.
One is task mode, where I'm completing the story. Two is side quest mode. Not necessarily side quest mode, but for example, in this one, I'm going to temples and Kurok seeds, and I'm stocking up on those things.
Uh-huh.
And then my third one is free play, where I just like to screw off and like discover stuff.
Yeah.
So I need a game where I can, if I just have story mode, that's why I gave up on the Star Wars one and Ghost of Tsushima. Maybe not Ghost of Tsushima, but it was too much oriented in driving the story, which is fun for a while, but I get tired of that, just like I get tired of free play. So I'm like, I need to get back into story mode. But did you hear some of the noises he makes, like when cooking?
Oh,
like,
it's funny.
Oh, he does little homes. Yeah, you're right.
He does.
Yeah.
And I also like the villagers, too. Whenever you walk by and you go to talk to like a villager that isn't important, and they'll go, eh.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
We should do that at the next con. Just go as Zelda people and just go.
Have little
like words we hold up, and people can choose the option.
Aw, that'd be cute.
What to do?
It was sweet though. He saved up a bunch of rupees so that we could build a house together, and he chose my boyfriend chose to not do certain tasks in the game because he was like, oh, this is something that Emily would enjoy doing. So like building Link a house. So we went and we built a little house together. I'm waiting on him to send me pictures. So once he plays the game again, I'll show you. It's a cool house. We did a killer job on the house, honestly. But it was fun. It was sweet. And I can understand why everybody's enjoying it so much. I'm just going to observe because it's too much. It's too much for me.
I used to be like that. And one thing about these big open world games is they tell you, this is really urgent. This mission that set off this entire game, you have to go do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, here's all this big playground to go distract yourself in.
Yeah.
So for me, it always felt weird. Whereas this one, like, there's so much of a mystery, you literally need to go walk around
and
try to figure out the story.
Because I'll say, when I started,
so it feels less urgent, and I don't feel like I have to be doing the story.
When I started this one, Spencer mentioned he built something, used brute force to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I was still used to playing Breath of the Wild, where I had all the hearts, all the stamina, and I had hang gliders, and if there was something in my way, I would just climb a mountain. But now,
You got to rebuild
all your stuff back up. So it's kind of, it's been frustrating in a way, but I'm very happy to be back. And I'll tell y'all, if you're not having enough fun on it, take a little bit of psychedelic drugs and then put it on the big screen.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be a great time.
It's going to give me even more anxiety
than there you go. That's our review of the new Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Also, you know, we did spoil it earlier. Zelda is the head of Waystar Global Media.
Yes.
So that's what happened in succession.
Austin's number one laser tag champion, the CJ Morgan Show on 101X.
Don't touch my crap.
Emily finally had to send a building-wide email. Welcome to the club, Emily.
I know. You love those.
You've now joined me. No, I hate them. Just kidding. I got to stop myself from doing them because they're too much fun.
Yeah, they are a lot of fun. And honestly, as the probably youngest person in the building that isn't an intern, I feel a lot of power when I send out company emails because it's like, hey, listen to me. You know, I have things to say.
I command thee.
Yeah, I'm half your age, but be an adult. All right. Let me yell at you like I'm your mother. Because basically what happened is I have a desk down in the promotions area. And I keep my desk very put together. I keep my desk very neat.
You've got cute little tchotchkes.
Yes, I have so many tchotchkes. I have things hanging. Like, I am somebody that likes a system. And I keep things in its place so I know exactly when they are moved. And over the past couple of months, I have noticed I'll come in and my stuff is always slightly moved. Just slightly, right? Like, it'll be, I don't know, something fell off and of something else, and so it's placed in a weird corner of my desk, or it's like my, I don't know, my a bag of mine is put somewhere else, or my pencils are moved ever so slightly. And I could tell. And I'm just, I haven't said anything because I know that's a really, really annoying thing to say. You know, oh, my desk is being moved. And everybody's like, okay, sure, whatever.
Right. It's like, oh, your stuff's still there? Oh,
yeah,
what's the
exactly.
Big deal?
It's, yeah. It's hard to complain about that. But sure. This time I finally had something to complain about that was worth throwing a photo into the company-wide email.
She was pissed, too. Well, like
I am still pissed.
I had just walked around the corner when she was like, standing there, and she was very mad.
I was so mad. Basically, I have this giant mouse pad that I put my laptop on. It's really pretty. I used my own money to pay for it. I think around $30 or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I looked, and somebody had taken some permanent marker or paint or something and decided to, let me just sketch a little drawing all over it. So, yeah, and basically it is now ruined. And
it's not a cheap little thing either. It's a cute, nice little stuff.
That I paid for myself.
Oh,
now,
man.
Don't tell anybody, but if it was like the office's mouse pad or whatever, I wouldn't have said a word.
Sure,
but
it's not as big of a deal, but it's still disrespectful, and it looks like, I'm guessing, you know, because we've had a lot of events recently, I'm guessing that the extra promotions people or interns are just finding spots to sit while they're, you know,
doing
office work, and I'm thinking that they probably were working on a project.
Well, I'm hoping it doesn't have anything to do with this wonderful little paddle that
might
I brought
be.
In today.
This
was for our Dazed and Confused event recently that I didn't get to go to. So someone...
Is that permanent marker that's drawn on that paddle right there, or paint?
It's either permanent marker or paint.
There's paint and permanent. Now, it does look a little messy. I don't know who's designed it, but I was like, I hope it wasn't that. I hope I'm not technically kind of responsible. Maybe not really.
Yeah. So I did. I went ahead and I sent a building-wide email. I attached the photo. I said, what did I say? I said something along the lines of, oh, this is just a reminder to respect other people's space, which I know is a very a-hole thing to do. And very, I don't know. It was a stuck-up email. I'll admit it. But I was mad. All right. And I wanted everybody to know that my stuff got all pushed around over the weekend.
You're justifiably angry. But
thank you.
More importantly, congrats on the sending an email.
Oh, I know.
That's good. That's the start to start emailing everyone. And then one day you'll be truly like me, Grasshopper, where we used to send not building-wide emails, but company-wide reply alls.
Okay.
Because back in the day, if someone got hired to like a new GM position, because we used to have radio stations before we were Waterloo Media, we were Emmis, and we had stations in Indianapolis, Terre Haute, New York, L.A., St. Louis, like everywhere.
We have one in Belgium randomly. I feel like we did.
Not Belgium. It was in Hungary.
Sorry. Sorry, Hungary.
Duh.
So we would get the, like, congrats on Chad Boswick on being named the new VP of sales. And it was only, like, high-ranking people that would reply, company-wide reply all. So one day, all of us in the promotions lounge, like, I replied all. I was like, that's great news. Awesome to hear. And then Trevin did it. And then John did it. And then so all these, like, just promotions and music directors people, we all started replying all to the entire company. Like, oh, that's so awesome. And finally, our boss at the time, who's now your consultant, Emily Chase, came out. And he's like, guys, you got to stop, like, right now. And it was so fun just to get into that. So, Emily, I look forward to some of your shenanigans when it comes to emailing the whole building.
Well, hopefully I don't have to do that ever again and that everybody just stays away from my things. And here, I have sticky notes right next to...
Speaking of sticky, they're going to be like, oh, is she the pumpkin spice girl?
Oh, I threw away that. That's all gone.
Did.
That's all gone, all right?
After like
don't
2 weeks,
about
it
that.
Was in there for a long time.
Yeah. But
so you have sticky notes.
I have sticky notes right next to where the crime scene went down.
Not anymore.
So you could have easily just picked it up and written, sorry, and stuck a little sticky note on there, and I would have been more happy.
What's worse, someone that messes up your property on your desk or someone that steals your stuff? Because I take stuff. If I see a plant I like, if I need a light bulb.
Why would you do that?
If I need like an office. See this fan I have in here because our AC's out?
Yeah.
I acquire things throughout the building. If I see something, I don't say something. I take it.
You take it.
I do.
You haven't responded to my company-wide email.
I didn't mess it up. Okay?
Are you sure?
And
I don't believe you.
You can use alcohol wipes to clean it. I don't know.
I already tried.
Oh, no.
It's gone. It's
someone
done.
Out there owes Emily a new mouse pad. The top 10 most dangerous cities in America, according to Forbes. They just released the list based on a variety of different things, and you've heard it a lot recently. Austin's dangerous. Austin's not what it used to be. They defunded the police. We become a crime-ridden garbage hole.
Oh.
I remember during, you know, 2-3 years ago, during the George Floyd, all the unrest, all the protest, that people were contacting me and asking if I was okay because they'd heard about Antifa riots. They heard that Black Lives Matter was going into the neighborhoods and, like, attacking people. And they heard that, like, homeless are on the street. I was like, it's fine, dude. I'm chilling outside right now.
That's really cool that the media gets to lie like that.
Dude, it's been insane how much Austin has been portrayed as this crap garbage hole. But now we're going to find out. We have actually the 15 most dangerous cities in the United States. And this is according, like I said, to per
Forbes.
Capita, you know, everything from violent crime to petty crime. There's a lot of different things
they
do.
You mean all them funny words that scientists created?
Exactly. And lo and behold, just glancing at this, two things in common. Large cities or cities in the South. A lot of poverty in the South, even though we love to pretend that
it'll be fine.
We're great and it's all Democrat-run hellholes.
They just gotta pick themselves up by these bootstraps.
So I'm excited to read this list and see what cities are on it, because some of the things you always hear is that Austin is turning into San Francisco, or Austin is turning into Chicago.
Huh.
So
both with public transportation that works. I would like that.
And championship-winning sports teams. Number 15, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Guess not much of a surprise there. It's a very large city.
Yeah, Philly's a different sort, man. I don't know about those people. I've only heard about it. This is the same thing I'm doing that people have done to Austin.
Sure.
I don't know, man. I just hear they throw batteries there.
Philadelphia is the number one most dangerous city to Cowboys
They'll
fans
chuck
for
those
sure.
batteries at you.
Number 14, Kansas City, Missouri. This one surprised me. Number 13.
I've heard about that. Surprising.
Not Kansas City. That doesn't surprise. No, I've watched an episode of not Cops. Not
Cheaters.
Not the PD one. Something about the stuff in Kansas City.
Fox News?
Number 13. This is the one that surprised me. Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land.
Oh.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin
really?
Is up there. Number 12. No surprise here. Oakland, California. Also an area of really in the Bay. It's historically been an impoverished community area, but now they're really struggling with a lot of what the Bay Area is happening with high rent prices and, you know, gentrification.
Being in a desert, kind of.
Number one, Little Rock, Arkansas.
What happened to Little Rock?
I don't know, man. I guess Fayetteville's become the place to be in Arkansas now because of the Walmart headquarters. It is Fayetteville, right?
I have no idea.
I have no clue either.
That's where my next job's going to be, I guess. But
next few, our neighbor, number 10, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Baton Rouge.
Number 9, Shreveport, Louisiana.
Oh, no.
Number 8, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me.
Same. It's a great place to visit as far as I know, and that's why I love it, but I'm not sure what it's like to live there.
I remember going there on a college trip, and they told us to stay to, like, the main streets only.
Yeah.
And some buddies decided to take a shortcut to get to a bar, and they got mugged.
Oh,
and then
man.
The next day, they were going to, Long John's or some fried fast food fish place, and they took a shortcut. They went through an alley from the hotel to there, and they got mugged again.
So they disobeyed. I don't know, man.
Yeah,
they deserved it, the second one at least.
Number 7, Cleveland, Ohio.
I've heard bad things about this place.
A little bit, and it, kind of similar to even worse, so at number 6 is Detroit, Michigan. It's the Rust Belt, man. Heavy metal manufacturing, cars, that in the Rust Belt.
Get to the water. It's not good for you.
And a lot of people blame the unions. They blame whatever, but
we'll blame whatever they can.
It was cheaper to make stuff in other countries.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
Still seems to be the case.
Number 5, definitely heard about dangerous happening in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh.
Number 4, Baltimore, Maryland, home of The Wire.
Heard of course, yes. It surprises me there aren't more, I guess, East Coast, New England-style cities up there since, they're so massive, too.
Since everyone craps on the East Coast.
Yeah.
bunch of dumb liberals and Soros DAs that ain't prosecuting.
That's where the good hip hop came from.
Number three, Birmingham, Alabama. Yeah, Wu-Tang represent. Number two, I haven't heard of Birmingham. I thought it was fine, but I knew number two, Mobile, Alabama. That's the second most dangerous city in the United States, according to Forbes.
Now, yeah, number one coming up here, is it?
Yes. Well, first, let's recap. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Nine of the 15 so far that are would be considered southern below the Mason-Dixon line. So,
yikes.
Yeah, but it's weird that those are also the most right-leanings. We're not going to get into that.
You
anyhow,
really, you
number
really
one
want to, though.
On the list of the 15 most dangerous cities in the United States, no surprise, and the reason we're doing it during our local segment, Austin, Texas. They're right. It is the most dangerous city in the United States. The homeless
man,
are going
on.
Wild. Antifa's burning Walgreens down.
What's
and, of course,
real?
BLM. Yeah, Austin's not even on the list.
I didn't think so.
It's not.
Did Texas show up on the list?
You know what else isn't on the list?
These nuts.
Got you there. San Francisco, Chicago, a lot of places that we're getting compared to become.
It's really strange because Chicago had a bad time at one point, and I feel like they're doing better.
It's one of the largest cities in the world.
It's massive.
Of course it's going to have bad times
sure.
and bad neighborhoods.
But they're doing okay. Like you said, they're not even on this top 15
list. And you know what's
list.
Funny is people bitch about gun violence in Chicago, but all the guns come from next door from in Indiana where it's legal.
Hell yeah, bitch.
So, I don't know. Number one, this is not a surprise. A lot of trouble there for a long time. St. Louis, Missouri is
Jeez.
Considered the most
yeah.
dangerous city in the United
yeah,
States.
My buddy did. He did some work contracts out there, and he was like, yeah, man, there's a certain, once the sun goes down, you don't really go out and do a lot. No wandering around, anything
yep, yep.
like that.
I did. They're trying to revitalize downtown, but I don't
they
know.
They got those arches, baby.
I did a, top 10 Texas list, most dangerous cities in Texas. Austin's not even in the top 10.
No.
So quit bitching. Let's still make our community better. Let's work on getting people houses and
Yay.
Loving each other.
Yay.
Did you know?
Woo.
If you hear that before we say a phrase, you know that it is 100% verified internet truth because everything you hear on the radio is true and the internet. Avery's joining us for this segment, and we're going to do our best to educate people.
Yeah.
You were saying off air that you always wanted to do a PBS show.
Yeah.
This is the closest thing to that.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so here we go. Did you know there's a man named Jonathan, I'm not going to say his name, he set the Guinness World Record for having filed the highest number of lawsuits in the world.
Hey.
Whoa.
When he heard about this, he sued the Guinness Book of World Records. Speaking of Guinness Book of World Records, on a previous Did You Know, we learned that, you know those food eating contests and like largest pizza?
Uh-huh.
If to get accepted into Guinness, you have to have a plan to distribute the food to like hungry people
uh-huh.
and food shelters.
Yeah, you can't just waste it.
Yeah, you can't just waste it. But could you imagine though, if you're down on your luck and someone's like, hey, this YouTuber tried to eat this pizza but couldn't, so here you go. It's been sitting in the sun
hey,
all day
Mr.
with a
Beast
crowd of people.
Yeah, yeah,
Mr. Beast couldn't finish
Mr. Beast
it.
Mr. Beast made a 2 mile wide pizza.
Oh, man.
And he's gonna dump it in the ocean.
Hey,
and
man.
Kill all the whales.
I'll just eat it.
Give us okay. a did you know.
All right. Did you know?
There
Is
you
that
go.
Good?
Whee!
That's perfect.
Okay, great. while filming Monty Python and the Holy Grail, the live rabbit they used for the monster scenes, they thought that it was covered in what they assumed was a washable red dye. But when they had trouble cleaning it off, they had to stop filming and desperately clean the rabbits before the owner came back.
That's great.
I wouldn't leave my rabbit on set alone with those guys.
Uh-uh.
They were wacky guys.
I wouldn't with anyone. I remember my dog, Mr. President, you know, P, I was going as the Mandalorian for Halloween,
uh-huh.
and so I was going to use food coloring to dye him
no.
green.
Yeah.
So he was Baby Yoda, and then luckily my fiance came home as I was in the process of like kind of planning it out.
Put P down.
But wouldn't he look cute all green?
Yeah.
Right?
That is just, cute.
I don't know if food coloring's safe for dogs.
I don't think so.
No, it's called food coloring for
good
a reason.
Good point. Well, you can eat it, though.
Sure.
That's my next recommendation for Avery's Eats.
Food coloring.
Did you know Cleopatra and Mark Antony formed their own drinking club in around 41 BC, and they were known to partake in elaborate games and contests, sometimes walking the streets of Alexandria in disguise and pranking the residents?
That sounds pretty rad. Bunch of rich kids.
Yeah.
doing whatever they want.
Let's go play with these peasants. Their lives are meaningless to us. No, they're probably cool, right?
Did you know? Tell me if this sounds familiar. In 1918, a massive flu pandemic hit the globe, and it ended up becoming the Spanish flu because the country of Spain didn't fake or alter or minimize the data about their dead, unlike Germany, Britain, France, the United States, and the rest of the countries, which made it look small. So everyone called it the Spanish flu and blamed it on Spain.
Yeah, I did
Isn't
know that.
Isn't that kind of crazy? You did know that?
I did know yes. that.
That's kind of bummery.
It's crazy.
I know. We're just as mad about...
Just stuck in history forever.
Dude, oh. It's so disappointing. And I don't want to get all COVID-y.
Too late.
Because I already lost a lot of my friends from Amarillo over this. But it's what scares me is that there was maybe an overreaction of how we handled it. And now people... And one of the greatest quotes about that I heard was some guy who was a virologist was like, listen, we're changing it every day because we don't know. We're literally building the plane as we're flying it is what he said. But people became so distrustful and so like, I want to own the libs by not doing this. That what I worry is when we have one of those fast moving zombie pandemics, we're going to be screwed when it gets really bad because no one's going to believe it. Like, this is the boy crying wolf.
Well, that's not the type of pandemic that usually goes well anyway. So.
It's not, but let's say we have a really bad one where they're like, hey, stay home because...
your flesh will melt.
It's airborne or something.
No one's going to do it. They're
those
like,
little balls from the rock are going to come get you.
Yeah, I know. The Rock is such a bad movie. Give us one more, Avery.
All right. Did you know, in honor of... I think you should leave coming out today. This is a Detroit fact.
Tim Robinson,
famously from Detroit. The city of Detroit has its own local currency that's fully backed by the U.S. currency. It's printed on $3 bills, and it features the spirit of Detroit over the Detroit skyline.
Whoa.
Oh, interesting.
Detroit-specific currency that's backed by the U.S. By U.S. currency.
Why don't we have that here in
$3
Texas?
Bills.
Too bad it's not water. wait, that's Flint, but they have a problem too.
Yeah.
All right, well, I hope you learned something.
Too bad it's not infrastructure that's not completely crumbling because America abandoned it.
Pretty much. There's a basic formula to having a good vacation.
How are we supposed to make money on the internet?
The internet? That thing's still around.
How do other people make money on the internet? We'd have to put something up on the internet that everyone would find fascinating.
Wait, I've got it.
Computer load up Celery Man, please.
Yes.
Time to read the clickbait so you don't have to. That's right, we found a website that said there's a basic formula to having a good vacation. The things that make it actually fun and memorable all combined into these four simple things. And then we've also got the top 10 moments that make a good vacation.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yay.
Let's start with the formula. Travel with at least four people you want to be with. So,
yeah,
friends, people you like.
So.
But it always sucks when there's someone who has, like, a boyfriend that sucks. Or because then it takes them out of the game. Or, like, when there's a family member that's annoying and stressful.
Yeah.
One bad apple can ruin a vacation.
No, I agree.
I will completely say that that's true. And it sucks. I call it getting sandbagged. I tell people, like, music festivals or South by Southwest or vacations or ski. Like, I'm like, don't let this person sandbag you. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, right.
If you have a badge and they have a wristband and you want to go to a show, don't miss that show because of them.
Exactly.
If you're going skiing and you want to do a black and they can only go on, like, greens... Don't miss out. Don't ruin your fun because of that. Like, you're paying to be there. Like, hang out with them, do your thing, but don't get sandbagged. Four people you want to be with, and, you know, depending on it, four people that enjoy the same things you do. So if you're going on a catamaran or something like that in the ocean, if you have a friend that's really seasick, hates the sun and water, probably not the best thing for all of you.
Yeah, leave them behind.
It says, speaking of a catamaran... Enjoy a minimum of four new experiences together. So four things you've never done before. Restaurant can easily account for one
Absolutely.
Of those.
Trying something new.
Going on a hot air balloon.
A
I'll never
tour, I even. Will
never do a hot air balloon.
Or, I mean, Why if not? You're like me and you're talking, I want to do something new, go to a different train restaurant. If you don't have a lot of money, Go hit up that Chili's that go you've never up, been to.
Yeah, go hit up the new Olive Garden
the
in
The new
town
Olive Garden around the corner.
There's always something fun to find in a new place.
Exactly.
Find a landmark, something cool, something unique, something different. Go see a landmark, something that's special in that area or wherever you're going that's
I agree.
You can take pictures with, that sort of thing.
Experiencing not just the food or the culture of that area, but just sort of the history.
Yeah.
The culture mm-hmm. of the culture, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Go see all the Confederate statues in the South that were built in the 1960s that we pretend were there for decades, centuries. Yeah.
Their butts are facing the North. He, 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 he.
He, 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 you know what that means.
It'd be funny if they did that. And it says to do at least one thing that's unexpected. Off the cuff. Unplanned, yeah. Nothing like that. I completely agree. I love unexpected things.
I want to add in there, too, try to meet somebody new on the trip.
Oh,
even
have
if
a conversation.
It's just for, yeah. like, a second, just for a conversation with somebody in line. Just try to meet somebody new because they might lead you to some cool new experiences.
That's absolutely why we tried a couple places out. And when I was in Nashville a few weeks ago, we ended up talking to one of our Uber drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, let me tell you about these sort of non-touristy places that are pretty popular, pretty famous, too.
Yeah, I like just chatting with people, but I don't like ever identifying that I'm a tourist. Or I like making it seem like I've been there a lot of times before. I don't know. I'm cagey.
They know.
It's very strange.
Just talking with people really kind of helps and opens up. Tomorrow, we'll do part two of moments that make vacations memorable and actually talk about specific top 10 moments that do just that. The top 10 moments that make vacations memorable. That's right. Yesterday, we talked about the basic formula for a good vacation. Travel with four people you want to be with. Enjoy a minimum of four new experiences together. Do something unexpected. And we added a few of ours. You can find that on the podcast. But now, 10 moments that specifically make it memorable, starting with one we mentioned yesterday. Number 10, visiting a famous landmark. Number 9, this is probably my favorite thing to do, swimming in the ocean. As a matter of fact, I get frustrated when I go on beach trips with friends or family, because to me, that's the itinerary. You wake up, you eat breakfast, you go swim at the ocean.
Yep.
You go home, have lunch, you go back to the ocean. You go home, have dinner, you go back to the... That's it.
Yeah.
You're there to swim in the ocean. If you have a pool where you're staying, you swim in the pool. But that I don't want to go on... I don't want to go to an aquarium. I don't want to go look at an old battleship.
What?
I don't want to do anything but be at
that.
The... I don't want to, like, maybe go to a restaurant at night.
Take a few extra days and go see some sights.
Those are extra days. I could be body surfing, crushing
body
waves.
Body surfing.
You can do that afterward.
Yeah, hang 10, that's,
I
dude.
Don't, all I want to do is that be at the ocean, unfortunately.
So you're saying every single coastal town in existence has no culture and doesn't matter?
No, it does, but my culture is surfing, brah. All right? This also kind of hits on something we talked about. Getting lost. Taking a detour and coming across something amazing. Sometimes taking the long way home can help you out
Sometimes letting the ocean drag you down the beach a little, like a mile.
Yeah, that's happened before.
That's totally safe and not suggested.
I was dating a girl once and we went to the beach and she wanted to get naked and swim together. And it was at night.
Ooh,
and
night
we
swimming.
Got, you know how you just drift because the current pushes you. Couldn't find our clothes.
I was going to say.
Our clothes, everything is a pile of seaweed and kelp on the beach or fire or driftwood. And so it was pitch black, we had to walk around nude to try and find our pile of clothes because it had the hotel keys in it.
You didn't want to go seaweed mode? Just sling a couple of pieces around?
I would have had to have done something like I would have to go back to the hotel and get a key. If we couldn't have made it work, it was nerve-wracking.
Oh, that's a shame.
Emily, you mentioned this one, making new friends with locals.
Oh, yes, yes.
Speaking of the beach, anytime I've gone to Surfside or Port A, almost gotten in a fight with someone. So
lots
of great locals
there.
That's
not making friends.
Yes, yes.
Come on, man, you know how Surfside is.
I do know how Surfside is.
Trying new food you probably won't find at home.
Yeah.
I think we all agree on that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Same with drinks or dinner with a great view. Mm-hmm. You know, try not to do all the touristy places, but occasionally
do a couple.
Sometimes the touristy places are touristy for a reason.
Like, you try a couple things out. It's not that big a deal.
Like the Oasis, we all know.
I was about to
say
the Oasis, which has become the Domain on Lake Travis.
Yeah.
But it's gorgeous. It's different.
Gorgeous.
It's
the
great.
The food is fine.
It's stale.
But it's beautiful, and you have to go at least once.
A new experience that takes you out of your comfort zone. When we were on the cruise and stopped in Mexico, they all did guided tours in the city, and I was like, I'm just going to go to the beach. So I just grabbed my backpack.
You were on the beach. Oh, my gosh.
And I walked through this town on my own and used my iPhone to try to find where a beach was and did that.
They
was,
knew you were a tourist.
And I did a jet ski. Of course, I'm a white boy. and I got a jet ski. Something funny happens that you'll tell stories about for years. So this is
you can't always
not something
plan
you plan.
No,
but
yeah.
You would hope
if you're going with the right people, something will happen.
You'll have those memories and jokes.
This is where I wanted to bring up. It's like the most things you remember is a lot of the structure, but a lot of it is the randomness and things that you recall because of the spontaneity of events. And
one of our Vegas,
can you believe that crazy thing happened after we were eating chicken or something?
One of our Vegas catchphrases comes from we were at this. We like to play Sigma Derby. We're at the table, and this dude comes in and rejoins his friends, and he's carrying a large corn on a stick with like butter and cheese on it, and he just keeps going like he's eating, going get money and just eating. So that's become our Vegas phrase.
Yes.
And that's what number two is, something that becomes a running joke the entire trip.
Oh, wow.
We had a friend that was on mushrooms and talking about how great her husband's skin is the whole time.
Oh, man.
And it got creepy, but it kept being funny.
Weird.
His flesh is so nice.
And then supple.
Watching the sunrise or sunset with family and friends.
Aww.
That's how you make a good vacation, according to the clickbait. It's time for the contest of influencers, and with our only true champion, Avery Moore,
Hello.
Comedian, entertainer, actress, theater, singer, you're everything.
Chauffeur,
yeah,
ever.
I'm every woman.
You do a lot of very funny things.
Yeah.
Now, when I talk about the contest of influencers, what that is we would have comics and podcasters and bands in, and show them that doing advertisements, doing live radio is not that easy, okay?
Yeah.
You have to earn it, and we would pick a random business from Google Maps is what I'd use.
Like
and
someone
then,
that has no advertising.
No advertising, bad websites, like something like that. And there was a new smoke shop that was one of the ones you did, and they kept hearing it, or they kept being told about it, and so they bought they paid you money.
Yeah, they paid me.
You do their jingle.
I do their jingle, and I have an open invitation. Kyle said, anytime you need anything to smoke at it, bro, you just come on through.
You should.
He sounds like the turtle from Finding Nemo.
It's
the most appropriate voice I'd ever heard come over a telephone.
For something
like
that.
And I was like, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. I'm forever grateful to them for this modicum of a little Austin celebrity.
Now, it's fun, too, because it's a jingle, and it's very weird and catchy, and you just improv'd it. Do you ever get, do you get notice from it?
Yeah. Some people will mention it after shows and stuff. They'll be like, you're the girl that does, after I get off stage, just because I guess my voice is very distinct.
Yeah.
No, duh. And they'll be like, hey, you're the girl from the smoking commercial. And I'm like,
that's great.
Yes, the smoking commercial.
People get annoyed by, and don't you say someone texted you like, and weird.
Yeah, and weird drinks.
I love that they left that in.
Yeah.
They don't even have weird drinks.
It doesn't make any
sense.
No.
People bitch and complain. They get very annoyed with advertising, and Scott Elder knows exactly what he's doing. But when you think about the most famous radio personality in Austin, it's got to be Scott Elder.
Yeah.
Because it's repetitive. It's like you know and hear
I'm a
him.
Dealer for
Everyone
the
does. He's a pretty nice guy in person. He's kind of quiet.
That makes me so happy.
He is. He even
he
brought
is nice, yeah.
Spencer and Matt's
Thank
old
God.
Show.
Yeah.
He brought him a cooler beer.
He was ready to hang, and we were like, sorry,
right.
This is just for a segment.
Yeah, sorry, man. We have to do a show.
He's like, oh, darn. Well, now I'm in a pickle.
Yeah.
How do I get out of here?
Anyhow,
I walked here.
We went through our list of businesses, and this week we're going to do a contest of influencers to try to get you paid again.
Okay.
And today I'm going to go out on the ledge and I'm going to do an actual client that pays money on the radio station.
Oh, oof. Boy, those stakes are high.
I'm going to have you improv a commercial. I've given you a piece of paper with some notes, but the rest of it is all you. Are you ready to contest of influence?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
Hey there, everybody. You ever wanted to flip a house? You guys hear about flipping houses all the time on HGTV, all sorts of television stations. Well, guess what? My guy Chase is here for you. He's extra, extra, extra strong. And he will pick up the house and he will flip it. He will flip the house. We will be flipping houses left and right. Bada bing, bada boom. He's so strong. If you want to get a hold of him, you just send him a little meme on Instagram. Just send him a little meme on Instagram at @ChasingRealty_ATX. That's @ChasingRealty_ATX 512-666-8121.
Good job. I like the 666.
I didn't even read the phone number when I saw it. I just naturally said 666. The little Nikki came out in me.
Flipping it. I was trying not to laugh on mic, just the envision of like, do you like to flip houses? Someone, the
flipping
visual of that's so good. Well, there you go.
I hope that Chase likes it.
I hope he does too, because I'm going to send it to him and see if he'll let me run it as a commercial.
Oh, cool.
Hey, that's how we roll, Avery.
Thanks, babe.
Getting you paid.
Three guys with beards and a young woman. No, this isn't your search history. It's the CJ Morgan Show with Emily, Matt, and Spencer on 101X.